Well, sorry, the last podcast about the samurai, the sound went off as I checked to post it on the SFS podcast for life. It's a euphoric feeling tonight. So I'll explain to you again about this legendary samurai. This legendary samurai made the first sword called the Tari, and then made it into a more flexible one, the Katana. And that was Yoshimitsune. I always keep pronouncing the word wrong. I'm just watching Power at the moment. It's a new season of Power. I just come back to my house just to check up on business, and I will be probably back at the cottage tonight. I think some black guy just run in, and St. Patrick's son just stabbed the guy. No. He said, oh, someone got his throat. Oh, it's 50 Cent. Oh, it's 50. It's 50. Where are you, 50? Danger. 50 just fucking killed him. Yeah. And Tommy is here to come and see St. Patrick. No, his father that is in jail. Tommy has basically lost everything in this episode. I've been watching Power. I recommend it for any viewer to go and watch Power. It is a very good series to watch. My favourite character is Tommy, I just like him. Now, he is officially the lone wolf and he's seeing his father in jail. I'm in the middle of watching this, so I'm still being unprofessional again. But like I said, Yoshimitsune was Yoshimoto's grandchild. Basically, they had wars with the samurai. He was not the first samurai. He was the first guy to make the samurai sword. Was Yoshinosuke.
I'd like to meet the rest of our family.
And Tommy wants to meet the rest of his family. Because his real family he never knew. Until St. Patrick was in jail with this white guy. And the white guy... basically knows that Tommy is his son. That's why I said send a message to St. Patrick while he's locked inside to go to Tommy.
Hey,
we cool, B?
I know you're G and everything.
Oh, he's trying to fuck off St. Patrick's son. He's gonna kill St. Patrick's son. You're gonna do it, St. Patrick ain't gonna like that. Oh, the gate's locked. What's he gonna do? Shit, hide, motherfucker, hide. Oh, there's a little sister. That's that cop. Oh, yeah, it was the cop that came before. The cop who pretended to be a cop, but he's a gangster. Who went to school looking for St. Patrick's son, but he's really a cop. Oh, she's just shot his little sister. Fuck me. That's the most dramatic, saddest thing of the whole season. I know I'm spoiling it here for you, but St. Patrick's daughter, the little innocent child who has nothing to do with any of the crime, who likes to do well at school, has been shot dead in the snow. I cannot believe it. This is sad. This is a little kid. She's not even 12 years old. Oh, that's hanging that. Why would that guy do that? What a sick motherfucker. She had nothing to do with it. Anything. St. Patrick's brother had more to do with that. That is the most dramatic thing of the season. I have got to admit that. Anyway, so in the samurais, we got to go back to Yoshimitsune, as he was part of the samurai group, adversaries of the Kimuras.
And this is what happened. That was absolutely... So, the Minamoto was the samurai group that Yoshimura, Yoritomo was a part of, and Yoshitsune was his sibling, his grandchild, I think. But the samurais went on before Yoshitsune was born, but they didn't invent the swords. They were just samurai groups to control different areas of Japan, like the city of Kyoto that was in heavily controlled by Yoritomo's adversaries. Now, this goes back to Yoshitsune as he just turned 21 years old. He travelled south towards his family member, Yoritomo. Yoritomo was simply trying to stay alive now, as the war and battle scars had got the best of him over the years. The Minamoto and their traditional allies were slow to respond to Yoritomo's call and arms, and no wonder over the past 20 years many have developed friendly relations with their Tariya overlords that used to be their adversaries. What did Yoritomo have to offer the Tariyas, which the first name of the samurai sword that Yoshitomo made, but the Tariyas was an adversary of the Minamoto, read by Yoritomo group, the Minamoto. So, now the allies. Yes, he was the hereditary leader of the Minamoto, was Yoritomo, but he didn't hold a court title or any land or control or any wealth. Despite these considerable disadvantages, Yoritomo did possess two gifts. The first was intelligence. The second, ability to say the most outrageous things and look you straight in the eye with a straight face. Yoritomo sent out messages to the samurai of the East. Minamoto and the Tariya alike kind of joined forces, as Yoritomo asked for loyalty and military service. In return, Yoritomo offered to confirm land manager jobs and make those jobs permanent. After spending 20 years among rural samurai, Yoritomo understood that these fiercely proud men felt like victims. A samurai might manage an autocrat's estate for decades, collecting rent and taxes from the overworked peasants, while at the same time taking a cut for himself as well. Yet the autocrat landlord in the faraway Kyoto could replace him on a whim. Samurai craved job security. Yoritomo promised it to them. Land ownership would stay the same, he explained, and the samurai would still collect rent on behalf of the landlords and taxes on behalf of the Japanese government. But Yoritomo, not the landowners, would decide who got the land manager jobs. Under Yoritomo's new deal, as long as samurai was loyal to Yoritomo, he couldn't be fired by anyone except for himself, Yoritomo, and his son, could inherit his job. In short, Yoshitomo was offering the samurai lifetime employment, civilian landlords and religious leaders who oversaw the land were also given more security. To top it off, Yoshitomo allowed his chosen land managers to skim a slightly higher percentage of the profits. The Chinese character for samurai in the Chinese version originally meant to serve its master. Yoshitomo intended to alter the meaning a bit. He was going to serve up a bigger slice of Japan's wealth to his loyal men. Yoshitomo knew Tara Kimurai wanted him dead and would send local Tara allies to kill him. He decided to strike first. Yoshitomo already had allies in the samurai tribe of the Tara against the Kimura faction that controlled Kyoto. Yoshitomo didn't ride the battle himself. However, in fact, he showed a lack of enthusiasm and putting himself in danger because of that lack of enthusiasm. Instead, he ordered his father-in-law and their small band of followers to make a surprise nighttime attack on the home of a local Tiara administrator. The next morning, Tiara's head was delivered to Yoshitomo's front porch as he killed the leader of the Tiara samurai faction. News of severed heads travelled within a week as Kiyomori's allies had gathered several thousand troops to hunt down the Minamoto rebels led by Yoshitomo. His father-in-law, their 300 followers, retreated deep into the mountains. They were overtaken the half-light before dawn. During the melee, an arrow pierced Yoshitomo's sleeve and lodged harmlessly between the plates of his armor. Beaten, scattered, Yoshitomo's forces fell deeper into the rugged terrain. It looked as if Yoshitomo's head would soon be on its way to the city of Kyoto. Many years before, Yoshitomo was a little boy. His nerf had given him a tiny silver statue of Kannon, the Buddhist goddess of mercy. Yoshitomo always wore it and tied it in his top knot. In that desperate hour, he pulled it out, explaining to his followers that he might be captured or beheaded. He told them he feared that Tiara might laugh if they found such a babyish thing in his hair. Yoshitomo and his remaining men tried to escape, pursuing Tiara. They hoped that the sharp mountain ridges would shield them from the eyes of the Tiara scouts, but one of the Tiara spotted them. The warrior was calculating fellow named Cage Toki, who already secretly decided he liked Yoshitomo's new deal as part of his allies with some of the Tiaras. When he returned to the leader of the Tiara forces, he said, "There are no traces of anyone on this mountain." He said that to let Yoshitomo escape unharmed from the attack that he was under. Yoshitomo and his men slipped away. After it seemed as if someone had opened a spigot, Eastern samurai flowed steadily from the Tiara side to the Minamoto territory. Yoshitomo set up headquarters in Kamakura, a quiet fishing village that was home to a lot of the Minamoto family. shrine. In Kamakura, Yoshimoto welcomed his new vassals, retainers. He also accepted almost anyone who pledged loyalty, even those who had recently been his mortal enemies. In those days, men sometimes inked their names on their arrows in case one was removed from the body of a high-ranking samurai lived by such bragging rights. The arrow that lodged into Yoshimoto's armor during the skirmish in the mountains carried warrior's name as he dragged himself from the mountains with an arrow in him. Following full well that the man almost killed him, Yoshimoto pardoned the warrior and allowed him to join the Minamoto ranks. Perhaps it's not that surprising that Yoshimoto quickly forgave his former enemies and needed every samurai he could muster because the Taira army was coming to crush Minamoto once and for all. Now, later on, as Yoshimoto's son, grandson, back in Harizumi, Lord Hidehira learned of Yoshitsune's disappearance. He immediately regretted his refusal to let the young man go. Was Yoshitsune a samurai yet? How could the boy stay safely in the north while other Minamoto were fighting for their lives? Honor duty was at stake. Horo the Hirazumi summoned two warrior brothers known for bravery and asked them to ride south to join and save Yoshitsune. This before he made the samurai sword. This is when he was younger. Tada Nobu was a year or so older than Yoshitsune, and Tsung Jin Nobu a year or so younger. They had probably trained with Yoshitsune and knew him well. Doubt the Hidehira ordered them to try to keep Yoshitsune alive. And it was good because he became one of the samurai's most deadliest warriors ever.